So, good evening. We are going to begin our public hearing, and it's an open public hearing, and I need to announce a few of the issues with regard to that. The hearing is limited to 2 hours, and it looks from the list, unless everybody wants to talk a couple times, we will probably be done before that. All speakers are limited to 2 minutes. The chair will call 3 speakers at a time to the witness table and 3 on deck. Your name, when your name is called on deck, please come to reserve seats in the front row, right over down here in the front. And then you'll come up and go back out that same way. I'm not going to read that one.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Because we're going to get to that part. The other thing I wanted to point out is that, and I talked about this with some of the meetings we had today, and I can't express the gratitude that our committee feels for the community of Baker, and Baker City in particular. Today was a very informative day for all of us. It was a packed day. We started at 8 o'clock this morning with some business leaders, and then we had an amazing meeting with a number of students from the region, and I appreciate the effort that all those people did in getting those students here. And then we came to the high school here and had an opportunity to go and look at what was happening in BTI, and then another, we broke into groups, and away before that we had a wonderful lunch provided by students in the culinary program, and then we went to half of us got a tour of BTI, and the other half went over to the Baker Charter School, Baker Academy. It was very enlightening. We've dealt with all of these places and schools from afar in Salem over the last number of years. It was really nice to be able to be here and put a picture in our brains of what is going on here and the wonderful things this community has chosen to do. Then we had a round table with education people out here for another 2 hours, and again, really good dialogue and a great conversations. And here we are tonight. This is the Student Success Committee. It's a joint committee, so there are 7 House members, 7 Senate members on the committee. Not everybody was here, but all but one, I think, made the trip. We started in Springfield, Eugene, with our first trip. We have this one, then tomorrow we're in Hermiston, and in Arlington the next day. And then when we get back, we're going to do 2 or 3 in the Valley, and then we'll have legislative days. And then we're going to end up going to Southern Oregon, Medford, Ashland area, and then to the coast next school year in October. So it's a long commitment from a lot of people to try to hear Oregonians' voice about what's important in schools and how we can get a stable funding program that allows us to do the best that we can in state for all of our Oregon students. And so it's really, this part is to get some public input. It goes on the record. It will become part of the permanent record of the state of Oregon. I appreciate all the people who are here who want to testify. And we had a commitment from the leadership in the Senate and the House and the governor's office, and we do have, the governor's office has been with us all day today. Is Lindsay out there? Lindsay is sitting right over here. Lindsay Capps. And we also had from the Department of Ed, the person that is in charge of what goes on day to day in the Department of Ed, our Assistant Superintendent of Public Instruction, Colt Gill, also in the audience. We appreciate their input and their knowledge that can help our committee make some decisions as we move forward to the February session of next year. The speaker and the president put together, you know, a challenge to us to look at early childhood, to look at how do we improve attendance, how do we improve graduation around the state, how do we make sure we have a stable funding source. And it is that we're gathering all this information for, and then our committee will have to think about what that means with respect to what kinds of things we could pass in the legislature and how we move forward in the coming years. But it's a great honor for me, and I think for all of the people on this committee, to have the opportunity to do this, and you have made this a pretty eventful day. So with that, we're going to have our first panel, and that's our County Board of Commissioners, Bill Chair, Bill Harvey. So, Bill,
thank you.
Floor is yours. Thank you for being here, and again, thanks for a great day.
Well, I have the great pleasure of welcoming you to Baker County. It is our thrill to have you come over here. Many times we have to go to Salem to see many of you and to work with our local representatives. So this has given us a great opportunity that you come and to be with our citizens and take their input. So it's a great help for us, and we really appreciate that. We understand the commitment that you've made to do this. It's an enormous task that you're taking on, but also the sacrifice from your homes, your families, and your way of life when you're not in Salem. So we really greatly appreciate your efforts here. Many times I wear many hats as you do, chairman of the county. Predominantly what I'm here to focus on tonight is job opportunities. That's what I do on a daily basis. I manage the county, but to me it's important to create opportunities for jobs. Education in Baker County does that for us. It helps to teach the kids what hopefully they're interested in and that they can grow in and really make a relationship with their careers, and that's what I believe that they need. It helps us to work with the school district, especially with BTI and the opportunities that we have, to take the younger kids and to help them understand the opportunities that they have before them. So I'm really excited about the opportunities that you folks are going to be investigating throughout the state. I do not envy your workload. I really appreciate it when you take all of us home and you try to pull out the parts and pieces that work, set aside the ones that don't, and try to come up with something. I guess more than anything else I could leave you with tonight is it takes a lot of crumbs to make a loaf of bread. And that's what you've got to work with. You've got to take everything that you deal with and see where can we save some money and move some money, because you're not going to have a pot at the end of the rainbow. So I thank you very much today. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. So our next group is Mark Witte, and anybody Mark wants to bring up with him. But there's only three chairs, so thanks, Mark. And again, thanks for the graciousness of the time here today, so thank you.
So I'm Mark Witte, Superintendent Baker School District.
Oh, I'm Robert Kling, Eastern Oregon Head Start.
And Tammy McEnroe, Eastern Oregon Head Start.
I think Robert will start out.
Investing early in kids is the most effective strategy for ensuring children will thrive in school and life. Babies are born learning, and 90% of brain development happens by the age of 5. Making sure young children have high-quality early learning education opportunities before they enter kindergarten is essential for positive long-term outcomes. That's why Pendleton, Hermiston, NISA, and many of your districts as well have invested in early learning centers, birth through kindergarten, to ensure their youngest learners reach their full potential. Community leaders in Baker are exploring the idea of doing the same thing locally. Early learning centers include multiple partners and resources that provide education and health services to young children and their families. These can include everything from Head Start to local library to health providers. Partner organizations contribute to the sustainability of the center by covering the cost of their own operation and paying rent where appropriate.
Early childhood education provides a strong foundation for children to be successful throughout their K-12 career and beyond. The self-regulation, early math, and reading skills learned in preschool help set children on a trajectory to read proficiently by the end of grade 3. That's critical because research shows reading at grade level by the end of third grade is the leading indicator of high school graduation. In addition, their job prospects are better and they tend to stay healthier over the course of their lives. Because the most profound brain development happens between birth and 5 years, it's essential that early care and education take place in safe and developmentally appropriate settings. These services must also be affordable and accessible so that working parents can remain in the workforce. The care and education of young children must be a priority.
Baker School District has completed a year-long process with a 24-member community task force charged with identifying critical facility investments needed to support 21st century education for the children in our community. As a result of this committee's work, our school board is seriously considering approaching our community to make a critical investment in facilities. The need for an early learning center was clearly identified by this task force as one of their top priorities. In Baker School District, it's our goal to make the connection between early learning and K-12 because we know our children deserve a great start in life. Over four decades of research in communities across the country demonstrate the benefits of high-quality early learning for children. Improving high school graduation rates starts in preschool. Investing early in kids is smart, and it works. We are asking the Joint Committee on Student Success for demonstration of their support of our community's children by authorizing a financial award of $8 million for the Baker Early Learning Center. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, guys. You had an extra 2 minutes. I appreciate all of you coming here and being a part of this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So next we have the BTI president, Doug Dalton, and his crew.
They all left you.
They did.
When I have a copy of this, I'll leave.
Either before or after.
And again, I should state that when you start to talk, tell us who you are. And it just makes it easier so that when you listen to the tape, you know who's speaking at each time. So whoever gets to start.
Very good. For introductions, Andrew Bryan, Baker School Board and Chair of Baker Technical Institute.
Clint Morrison, Manager of Baylor Manufacturing, a beneficiary of a lot of the programs that go on at BTI for our employment and our kids.
And Doug Dalton, President of Baker Technical Institute. We would like to present a possible BTI expansion proposal, a concept of what it might look like. As state lawmakers, from the Joint Committee for Student Success come to Baker City for the next stop on their tour across Oregon, seeking solutions for Oregon's education system, I find myself wondering how many more lives, businesses, and communities could we impact if we had the capacity to expand what is proving to be the real difference maker. As the president of BTI, I am and I was honored and excited to give you a tour of our facilities, share our vision, demonstrate how we are providing a much needed innovative approach to building a skilled workforce, share real experiences about why CTE is working and why it should be the top priority. Yes, CTE raises graduation rates, and yes, it keeps students engaged in their studies. Both of these facts are reason enough for lawmakers to pay attention. But from an economic development standpoint, in rural Oregon, CTE prepares tomorrow's workforce that businesses desperately need to locate and thrive in our communities and ensures local needs are met by qualified professionals. The difference in rural Oregon between a healthy community and a struggling community is a healthy business climate. Thanks to supplemental funding opportunities like charitable foundations, competitive grants, and Measure 98, which provide additional funding beyond the state school fund for CTE, lawmakers don't have to look for new system-wide solutions. Consideration could instead be given to strategic, targeted investments to expand what is already working, which could result in the quickest and most relevant outcome for Oregon. BTI is poised for expansion. An additional investment in BTI would bring real results with a return on investment in our region felt by high school students, the current workforce, businesses, and communities that is unmatched. New investment dollars could be utilized to fund an expansion of several programs and the creation of a few new programs. An investment of approximately $5 million would be put to work as follows. For the sake of time, there's details in the proposal with a detailed budget on what the programs would be. So I'll close, and just as you visit us today on your tour across Oregon, my message is to embrace what works. A strategic investment in BTI for the good of our communities is a perfect example of how to take the success that we've achieved at BTI and help spread it across the state. Places like BTI can serve as a training hub to help schools, businesses, and communities, and it can be done now with targeted funds from lawmakers. Thank you for all you do to support education and for taking time to visit our school and our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you and either want to say anything, you're more than welcome.
I guess I would just give a brief example. I've been with Baylin Manufacturing here in town for 18 years, and we've been unable to hire enough people to keep up with the growth that we've been able to achieve. We ship quite a bit into Canada, Hawaii, all of Western states, and this is the first year with the help of BTI we've been able to train enough welders and enough other things that we've been able to keep up with the expansion that we've had, and it wouldn't have been possible without what BTI has done here locally. So it's been a great asset to the community and to us as a business.
Thank you.
I would just add and reemphasize that the Baker Technical Institute program and those like it that have been generated out of the dynamics of this community have not just been designed to benefit us here locally, but also regionally and contribute to the success of the state. And I know all of you saw that today as you experienced that. And so in a sense, this is it's important for us to know this is what we are offering to all of us as Oregonians. And as you carry that forward and again look at some of the change factors that you're going to be considering, I hope you remember this day and that it has a big impact on what can happen.
Thank you. Are you willing to take a question one of our members would like to ask? I see a nod of the head, so Kim. Senator Thatcher.
Well, here.
So my voice carries. Thank you. You're talking about expansion. Are you talking only about expanding the BTI here in Baker? Are you talking about expanding it to other parts of the state?
Both. Primarily expansion on a mobile aspect. And I've got five things here that I've highlighted. The first is to develop partnerships with school districts and post-secondary institutions in the region and throughout other areas of the state to build the community network to be able to offer access to our platform. That's the first. The second is to expand in our building trades construction program and be able to offer it on a mobile basis, similar to what you saw with our heavy equipment program today. Third is to develop and launch a CDL and next generation logistics program on a mobile basis as well. Expand our brownfield course to post-secondary institutions and high schools throughout the entire state of Oregon, and develop a women's trade program for the region. Those are the top five with our expansion, all of which are based on a larger platform and expansion and mobility.
Thank you for the
question.
Okay, thanks. I think we're good.
Okay. Thank you.
So next, we're going to invite, and they can come right up after this group comes off the stage, Dorothy Mason, Lori Cheek, and Dan Milkey. And then on deck, sitting right down here, Bill Harvey, Joshua Anderson. Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Joshua Anderson.
Okay. So Joshua Anderson, Melina, Worth, with Alma Rodriguez. Up in the front seat.
Okay, my name is Dorothy Mason. I serve as the volunteer coordinator for the Baker 6th grade outdoor school. For our outdoor school's mission is to cultivate appreciation for outdoors and land ethics through understanding of the natural systems. The 5J School District of Baker County has held an annual week-long outdoor school for 6th grade students since the early 1990s. 7 years ago, the program expanded to include North Powder, Huntington, Halfway, and Burnt River schools, as well as homeschool and more recently online charter students from Baker Webb Academy. Outdoor school provides an experiential learning stations for students to increase knowledge and skills in areas such as forestry, geology, entomology, watershed, wildlife identification and wildlife habitat, soils, archaeology, orienteering, and more. This effort is supported by federal, state, and county agencies, as well as donations from local businesses. Parent volunteers are essential to making the week go smooth. Volunteer professionals, both active and retired, provide instructions for all the stations. BLM, U.S. Forest Service, Oregon Department of Geology, OSU Extension, and local search and rescue agencies, and others. Our 2017 local program presented this past September served 165 students. We had representation from 5 schools, involved 32 instructors, and were assisted by 35 parent volunteers and school district staff. Measure 99, which passed last election, provides funding for outdoor school programs across Oregon. One of the goals of this funding is to encourage school districts to provide an outdoor experience in a residential setting, at least 3 nights and 4 days. Funding became available beginning this biennium. Baker School District has begun planning for their fall 2018 program, scheduled for this September. The ability to use Measure 99 funding allows us to expand our program to a nearby residential setting for the first time. We anticipate being able to provide all 6th graders with a 4-day, 3-night experience in the Blue Mountains this year. The instructional program will be facilitated by the school and the coordinator. As you might expect, our students look forward to this experience every year, as do the parents. This program introduces students to potential careers in science, math, natural resources, and engineering, and the lessons learned at camp can be integrated by teachers throughout the school year. Many high school students that have graduated still remember their experience in outdoor school. This is truly a community event. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I want to thank you very much for letting me come to speak with you today. I'm Lori Cheek, and I'm from Harney County, Burns Hines, Oregon. I want to do something completely different. I am on the school board. It's exciting to hear what Baker City's doing. I hope that we do a lot of CTE. It is very beneficial to us. What I want to talk to you about is our success story. Our school had failing heat. It was the biggest school in our county. It was our elementary school. Our county did also our county courthouse. We got together and we formed a co-op. It's High Desert Biomass Co-op. And we had a developer bring technology to us, Wisewood Energy, out of Portland, from Austria. We are burning tree service off the OTEC lines, garbage, in other words, chips. We're chipping it up and it's heating a lot of buildings. 6 boilers have been eliminated. The courthouse has got great heat, saving about 80%. The school, finally, the kids don't have to wear coats in there. I want you to know we did this on our own. I want you to know that that's how we roll in Harney County. Just like with ranches in rural America, we have to take care of each other. But I want you to know that we want to expand this. We do not have natural gas, nor will we ever, probably. This is such a huge benefit to the local businesses there, to the schools there, and to who we are. We did this ourselves. Now we want to expand into the township of Hines, and we want to go downtown into the streets on the main street of Burns. But I want to tell you one story about a student. A student did an internship on this boiler. He did so well that now it's his senior year. He's been there 2 years. He got a scholarship from Oregon Trail Cooperative. He is going to be a boiler man. He is going to get his apprenticeship through a local person there. I want you guys to remember this. I'm going to come back and talk to you again. Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming.
I'm Dan Melke. I'm currently the dean of the Colleges of Business and Education at Eastern Oregon University. As you're aware, Eastern Oregon University was recently designated as Oregon's rural university. We consider that unless your toe is in the Pacific Ocean, you're in Eastern Oregon. And so we serve a vast region, not only of what we traditionally look at as Eastern Oregon, but also throughout the state. We have regional centers at several community colleges. We partner with our area community colleges in Blue Mountain and Treasure Valley in a number of programs. I want to highlight a couple of things. We serve a lot of Pell-eligible students and first-generation students. That's not unusual for many of our higher education programs. Our goal is to be, and we are, an access institution. We want to provide the opportunity for students to come and to succeed, to graduate, and to move on to various aspects of their life. One program I want to highlight is, currently, if you're not aware, we have our business program and our education program at Mount Hood Community College. As a result, we have been partnering with local school districts in a number of ways. And one of the most innovative things is we are now partnered with four school districts, Gresham Barlow, Centennial, Reynolds, and of course I'm forgetting the fourth, but with their early childhood programs. The students are in, they have early childhood programs at their school. Their high school students get experience in this. We are offering dual credit for those high school students in those programs to get them advancing on a career that they obviously have an interest in because they're spending time in that in their regular program. Others have asked for sums of money. I might as well ask for $1 billion to do what we need to do. Of course, that's not realistic. But I want to make you aware that Eastern Oregon University believes in the success of students throughout the state, throughout the region, and we appreciate your work and what this committee is looking toward doing, and we hope that the end result is success for the students and children in Oregon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So our next, as soon as they exit the stage, the next group can come on up. And on deck, we have Joshua Anders. He's coming up, that's true. Angela Schwartz. Oh, there we go. And did we have Kim Mosier already? With early learning. If she isn't, she's welcome to come on up as well. And his next group, be on deck. I'll let you go first.
Sure. Well, I just want to start out by thanking you for allowing me the opportunity to come speak to you this evening. My name is Joshua Anderson, and I am a current senior at Vail High School, which is in Malheur County. In high school, I've been able to be involved in a number of different programs, but one of the most beneficial to me has been our automotive service technology, CTE. And in association with that, we've competed in Skills USA and other organizations and events like that. I'd like to talk to you about how important CTE is for me, in that I'm a student not planning on actually going into the automotive field, but taking the lessons that I've learned from my time in this organization, in this program, and how it's going to benefit me in the future. CTE programs like Vail's Automotive Technology prepare kids not only for careers in their respective fields, but also for success in life in general. I'm actually planning to attend the College of Idaho and study political economy. But from my CTE, Automotive Technology, I've learned a number of skills, transferable skills, including learning to work under stress, time management, task completion, and communication skills, working with and teaching others, critical thinking, customer service, open-mindedness, and a willingness to learn. These skills continually prepare me to be a successful college student and a successful individual, really for the rest of society and the rest of my life. I want to emphasize to you how important this program has been to me, and how important the knowledge that students gain in these CTE programs are, whether they go into their respective fields or whether they go into a different career. Yeah, that's all I have for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for making the trip from Vail. And however we're going to work this next group.
So I'm changing hats. I'm the interpreter translator for the English as Second Language program here in Baker School District. I'm also the parent liaison. So predominantly we have a Latino community. So I'd like for her to introduce herself, and you'll have to allow me a little more time because of the translation, right? Just like Family Feud.
We'll give you as much as you need.
Thank you. Give me more time.
Mi nombre es Alma Rodriguez. Tengo estudiantes en grados, Vanessa en segundo grado, Richie va a entrar al 9. Ellos son el futuro de Bulldog. Mi niña tiene un año y medio.
So her name is Alma Rodriguez. She's been here 14 years. Her children have all gone through the system. She has students in grade second, which is Vanessa, and her son Richie is about to enter ninth grade next year. And her future little bulldog is right here, and she is a year and a half old.
Deseo mejor comunicación para parientes, para que puedan servir mejor a nuestros hijos durante transiciones.
So what she's asking, and I need to say one more time and clarify, she's sort of the representation of the Latino community here, because this is a season that's difficult to leave when the sun is shining for this long. So a lot of including her husband, a lot of them are out working at this time. So what she's asking, her first ask is, she desires better communication in a form as a parent that she can prepare her children for the school years, either the ones they're in presently or the future.
DACA causa que se desanimen a aprovechar los estudios para agradar y al colegio.
She's also concerned about the DACA program. She saw a lot of our students were sort of disengaging, and they weren't encouraged to continue with their education if it was going to be taken away. In that case, there were a lot of meetings on my part to educate our parents that they needed to press on and go as allowed.
Tamaño de clases, demasiadamente de más estudiantes en las clases.
So she noticed in her middle school class predominantly actually was that the class sizes were so large. She's more concerned about that and the need for her son to get some help when he's needed.
Necesitamos más maestros y poder detenerlos aquí. Cambio de maestro cada año es difícil.
So she's the one that brought up these issues and we had to rewrite them. But her last ask is, she would like to see more of the teachers be able to stay in our community, because the transitions for an English as second language learner, very bilingual, her son and her daughter now, it's difficult for them to transition from a different teacher to another. Sometimes in the middle of the year, they understand, you know, when you get up to the upper levels, you switch, but different teachers is hard for consistency. And one question she asked a couple of days ago when I told her about this was, why don't they all speak Spanish? Or why aren't they bilingual in some other, and actually, and her children would like to learn a different language. So.
Gracias.
Gracias. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You can let her know that this record will be kept forever in the archives of the state.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think we have our other two people, Kim Mosier and Angela Schwartz. They can come on up. I'm going to ask, I always get upset with me, but if there's other people who were sitting out there and would like to make some testimony, this is the time to do that. They can come up and sit in the front row if they wish to, because that's all the people who currently have signed up. So. So whoever wants to go first.
Do you want to go first?
No.
Okay. No, that's fine. My name's Kim Mosier, and I am the chair of the Baker Valley Education Foundation. I'm here of my own accord as a parent and a citizen, but I do also sit on that board. The Education Foundation is an independent nonprofit that supports innovative teaching and hands-on learning in the public schools. I didn't realize I'd be nervous up here. We give grants to teachers, directly to teachers, to implement programs that wouldn't otherwise have a funding source. This year we gave grants to kindergarten teachers for STEM science kits. We gave grants to the first grade, the entire first grade team. Every first grader had access to a STEM science cart that was wheeled from classroom to classroom. In particular, we like to focus on hands-on learning in those early grades, but we also did support a class that went from the high school to New York City. I'd like to support the request for funding for early learning. I have seen and I've done a bit of research in looking at what actually keeps kids in school as part of my work with Education Foundation. And research clearly points to investing in early learning, leading to reducing dropout rates, increasing student success, and increasing graduation rates. With increased investment in early learning, I believe we can deliver students to middle school and to high school in a state where they would be ready to actively engage in the CTE programs that that we're seeing here and we're seeing across the state. And so I'd just like to give my support for increased investment in early learning. Thank you, and thank you for coming. And I know it's a lot of time out of your day to be here.
Thank you.
My name's Angie Schwartz. Woo, you hear my voice. I'm a parent of students here in town, and I'm a teacher at the Webb Academy, but I felt compelled to come up here and share that I'm hoping that we're going to support more makerspaces in the Oregon schools and promote the arts. She mentioned STEM, but I'm going to come, I would like to see STEAM. Where we're bringing the arts into it, and I just wanted to put that out there. I've noticed at my school and with my children that they're a lot happier with all of their work at school when they're getting opportunities for art. And I think that if we have makerspaces where they can collaborate with each other and create things, that they're gonna learn skills that go beyond what machines can do, because we have such incredible technology now that we need to, as humans, become more creative, and so that we can keep pushing into greater things. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess I'll give a last call. We do appreciate all the people who came as an audience to hear tonight and to be a part of this open hearing for people in the region. Because a lot of you are the support for the people who did speak, so we appreciate that.
And we've also spoken to over 100 other people today.
That's true. Over 100
people. In our earlier meetings over the course of the day. Or heard, listened to.
That's right. Yeah. Listened to. Yeah. So with that, hearing and seeing no other people coming forward, we will close this public hearing.